My message today is entitled, Jesus the Builder of Bridges. Throughout Scripture, when we look at Scripture throughout the Bible, we see that Jesus came as a builder of bridges. We see what happened in the book of Acts, where he poured out his Spirit upon the Gentiles and changed a lot of things for humanity forever. And even Jesus said, you know, he gave us a new commandment to love, which is a commandment that we need to reach out and build bridges with others. Today's sermon, we want to use two passages of Scripture to show that God wants us to build bridges and not barriers. I have a few examples of bridges here. Some of them seem like they're reaching off into the sky. Another one here is a bridge going over a waterway. I think it's 24 kilometers long or miles long. I don't know if I'd want to be on that bridge in a windstorm or when the waves were crashing in pretty high. I don't know. I don't trust those pylons way out in the middle of, you know, 12 miles out from each side. Another bridge that you're probably familiar with is, anybody know what this bridge is? Confederation Bridge in the Maritimes? PEI, yeah. It actually goes out to PEI. This is another bridge. I'm not sure where this one is located. But notice how it just makes it so much easier passing through certain areas over waterways, maybe areas that are untravelable by land. And then the last one, this is one I'm not sure if I would like to walk on this one. This is the bridge in China that's on kind of glass. At my weight, I don't know if I'd want to walk on that bridge and really put it to the test. But they say it's supposed to be strong. But again, bridges are one of those things when you don't think about them, how much easier they make life. Imagine before bridges, like going to PEI. The only way to get there was by boat. It was slow. Imagine before we had ferries. How did people get from the mainland over to the PEI? A rowboat, they'd have to pick their times very carefully because in windstorms, they may not make it there. They may miss the island. Bridges are designed to make life easier to get to our destination. They open ways that oftentimes were barriers before. Driving 24 kilometers to that island, it's a lot easier than trying to get there by boat. So we can see how bridges have really made life easier for us as people. Even Greg's message today talked about hindrance. Many times we have things that prevent us from achieving certain things. When it comes to barriers or bridges in our lives, as Christians, we are much better at putting up barriers, aren't we? If we look at our background, even from our background growing up in church, we had barriers or legalistic barriers there. We had a set of rules that you need to follow if you want to be a good Christian. And if you didn't follow those rules as good as I did or as you did, you were not a good believer. So we kept the Sabbath and believed that anyone who didn't keep the Sabbath as diligently as we did was not a good believer. We judge others for their lack of diligence and not being as good a Christian. Sadly, as Christians, more people know us for what we are against than what we are for. More people know that we have things that we are against than what we are for. And Christians are known to be against a whole lot of stuff. It wouldn't take long for most of us to put a list of what most people believe Christians are against. And historically, since the church began in the first century, barriers were put up by many denominations. We're known for our animosity against sinners more than our love for people. We are thought of, not just our church, but many churches are thought of as just another religion with a set of rules that vary from church to church. Okay, if you're going to be a Christian in that church, you have to do this. And these are things that you can't be a Christian, you can't be a believer unless you do all these things. Is it any wonder that Christianity is being marginalized and many young people are turned off by Christianity? What are some things the church is known for that Christianity is against? Can I throw it out to you? Are there things that people, when they talk about a Christian, what are Christians against? Any thoughts?
Homosexuality.
I knew that would come up. That's a big one. Abortion. Any other ones? Yes. Drinking. Some of the religions are very much against that. Any others? There's a lot more than that. So, what about shacking up or living together? There's a lot of people have views of what God is against. What are Christians known for? Can you think of things that Christians are known for? Any thoughts? Okay, that's a negative too, which is that's a good one too. But what are positive things that we are known for? Generosity, service. I think we can think of more things we are against than more things we are for. Isn't that true? And sometimes, you know, our views are quite well out there and well known as to what we believe. If you look at the next slide here, somebody mentioned abortion. Another slide, go on the next one. Abortion is murder. These are oftentimes the signs you see when people are standing up for their Christian rights. The next one. Does God hate homosexuals? And the last one here, I think there's one more. Why do Christians hate the LGBTIQA community? Is God anti-gay? These are all things that when people think of Christians, they think Christians are very judgmental and critical to all these people. And that's oftentimes how Christians are viewed. And how do people think of us that way? Do you think our views are shared out online? Have you heard a thing called social media? You'd be surprised at how much people share their views and their thoughts on social media. I'd like to just share a few of them here. The next slide. On Facebook, there's 2.2 billion people on Facebook. 2.2 billion. That's a lot of people that are on Facebook. And what do people share on Facebook? Their views, their thoughts, the things they are against. Another one is YouTube, 1.9 million. WhatsApp, 1.5 billion. Messenger, 1.5 billion. WeChat, 1 billion. Instagram, 1 billion. QQ, which I've never heard of, 800 million. Tumblr, 640 million. Now, these are all big numbers, but just to give you a perspective of what we're talking about here, in Canada, we have 37 million people. Look how many people are on Facebook. Almost 10 times the whole population of Canada. That's how many people share their views and go on Facebook and digest, in some ways, get their value system from social media. If you go on, there's Qzone, 630 million, TikTok, 500 million, Twitter, 330 million, Reddit, 330 million, LinkedIn, which most of us have heard, it's only 300 million, Viber, 260 million, Snapchat, 255 million, Pinterest, 250 million, Line, 3 million, Telegram, 200 million, and Medium, 60 million. I don't know about you, but probably half of these on the second page I've never heard of. And in some ways, probably we're showing our age, because a lot of the younger generation knows very much a lot of these that are happening. Some are more in Asia, some are more in Africa. But it just shows you, even the lowest social media platform that's out there where people are sharing their views and what they agree with and what they love and what they hate, the lowest one is double the population of all of Canada. That shows you how much goes into people sharing their thoughts and ideas. And it is any wonder what we say on social media has a huge impact on the lives of others and on us. And that's why we as a church need to be reaching out in social media too, in a platform which is huge. It's one of those things that we can share our ideas and not really realizing that people know everything that we're against. And we've often heard that that's where people share their truths. Well, somebody puts on there, this is my truth, but truth is, I'm not going to get into that subject, but truth is one of those subjects where everybody thinks they have the truth. But it's very subjective in when you get talking about some of those things. But as you can see, what happens on social media is massive. And it has a huge impact upon us and Christianity as a whole. As was mentioned in Speaking of Life video, we often hinder others in their relationship with God by imposing barriers on people that prevent them from knowing God as He truly is. And I want to share with you the account in Acts 11 of Peter. He is giving a report in Jerusalem about how God has revealed to him to reach out to the Gentiles. This initial response, however, was not favorable. In Acts 11, 1-3, "Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers jumped with joy, saying..." Oh, they didn't do that. They criticized Peter. They didn't jump for joy. Why did you go, Peter, to these uncircumcised men? And why did you have dinner with these sinners? That's what they criticized Peter for, going there and meeting with these sinners. "Peter, you aren't following the rules of what a good Jew should do." Circumcision was a clear barrier to keep others out. And if you wanted to be in as a Jew, you had to be circumcised. And you had to really watch what you ate. After, Peter then goes on to recount the story of what happened in the house of Cornelius the centurion to his friends and fellow disciples. In Acts 11, he says, in verse 5 to 18, he says, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by four corners. It came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. And then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was pulled up to heaven again. Right then and there, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers who were with me also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house, saying, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same Spirit he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." You know, this vision that Peter had cut through some pretty significant signs of distinction for Jews. It cut through the laws of clean and unclean meats, circumcision. All Jews were bound by the Old Testament laws of clean and unclean meats. This was a sign of their calling. But now God was telling Peter that neither of these things needed to be done anymore. Neither of these things needed to be done. These items were barriers getting in the way to Gentiles in their developing a relationship with God. Peter's vision was about breaking down those barriers and building bridges. The apostles and believers praised God for giving the Gentiles repentance that led to life. In other words, for including them. So God was much bigger than they anticipated. Jesus' life, death, resurrection, ascension was much more meaningful and powerful than they had ever imagined. God was not just calling one tiny Jewish nation. He was calling all mankind and opening salvation to them. It makes us think about barriers and bridges, you know, when we read this story. How many times do we as believers put up barriers in our lives? Maybe it's more than we really think. It makes us wonder if we're creating barriers rather than building bridges. Let's talk about some potential barriers that we can throw up as believers. Inviting somebody to church. Barriers might include, well, I can't invite that person. They have some really weird beliefs. So? Well, they have a lifestyle. I'm not going to invite that person to church. They have a lifestyle which I don't agree with. What about their habits? They got some bad habits. I can't invite that person to church. And we don't want to do that. You know, we want to keep the church you know, where there's good people at. Jesus came to save sinners. We got to stop viewing the church as a social club for the saints. And we need to view the church as a hospital for sinners. Because after all, we are all sinners and saints. And we need to view other people we need to view that we as a church have something that we can offer to everyone. It doesn't matter whether their lifestyle is different, the habits, the hang-ups they have. Jesus came to save sinners, and all sinners need Jesus, and we need to build bridges in the church. What about baptism? Baptism is another one. I grew up in a church where we really couldn't get baptized, though we were 20 or it seems older, and they discouraged it. So age was a big thing. You can't get baptized till you're a certain age. Or you had to attend for a certain length of time. Or you had to study a course or something, or go through a course. Or some churches even look at giving records, which thankfully we don't do anything like that. In the other sense, who of us is qualified, myself included, to determine if somebody is ready to give their life to Jesus Christ? Because that's a hard issue. It's nothing to do with me and me knowing whether they're ready to give their life to Christ. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up there and spoke, 3,000 people came to Christ and were baptized. Do you think they sat down with all those 3,000 people saying, okay, let's go through this 20-point checklist here and check to make sure that you have done this in your life and that you've got to do all these things? No. 3,000 people stepped forward and said, I want to be baptized and I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. And it was right on the spot that happened to many of them. Philip baptized men and women in Acts 8. Many were baptized in Corinth. There were no barriers to baptism. Baptism was a personal choice that people made. That they said, I want to give my life to Christ. I'm tired of doing my own thing. I now commit my life to Jesus Christ and I want to give my life to Him. What about communion? Another one in our church is often communion. That I've been to other churches too where it was another denomination church where they had communion and they wouldn't let me take communion. Because I first needed to talk to the priest or the person in charge before I was allowed to take communion. Is age a barrier? Are we ready or worthy? We'd say, do they really know what communion is all about? Do they know what it means? Again, barriers or bridges. We should welcome all to the table and not find reasons to keep them away from the communion table. These may seem obvious examples, but Christians throughout the ages from this 31 AD have been putting up barriers all along. And it's almost like we're more interested in keeping people out than leading people in. Perhaps being followers of Jesus makes us maybe even a bit more prideful, gives us a feeling of one-upmanship. Maybe it's fear. We don't want to let others in that could mess up our little social club. This leads to the next scripture, which shows us another problem. About 2 years ago, we did a study by Andy Stanley, and it was the main focus of the whole study was on John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Powerful, powerful scripture that is meant for all of us. And again, the focus of the scripture is on building bridges, not putting up walls and barriers. When Jesus says there is a new commandment, we should pay attention. A new commandment is to love others as He has loved us. What did Jesus do for us? He laid down His life. He died for every one of us here. Are we willing to do that for others? Jesus spent His entire ministry breaking down barriers. He called out the Pharisees time and time again for the many rules and regulations that kept people focused on everything except their relationship with God. He became human to show that humanity was worthy and valuable to God. He endured the most despicable death, reserved only for people of the lowest quality, to show that no one was beneath his attention and love. He suffered the most humiliating death. He ate with sinners and called a number of them to be his disciples. And I remember the study we went through too. Imagine, here's all the disciples, and Jesus says to Matthew, "Come follow me." What are the other disciples' first impression? "Jesus, you got it wrong. That guy's a sinner. That guy's a tax collector. We don't really think he should be walking in our group." That didn't matter with Jesus. He called sinners and tax collectors. He ate with them. He changed the way women and children were viewed. Women and children in the Old Testament were often viewed as secondary citizens. He destroyed barrier after barrier to build a bridge to the Father. If we love as Jesus loved, we will be just as diligent to build bridges and much more aware of barriers that we may be constructing. We want others to know Jesus as their Savior, their Redeemer, their friend. We want them to understand that God came and made his home among mortals, and that he is dwelling with us until the day comes when every tear will be wiped away, death will be non-existent, and pain no more. And I thought about the scripture when it came to Bob, for example, who passed this last week, in Revelation 21:1-6. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a voice, loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making new. I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said this to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life.'" As we were in the hospital, I was talking with Anne. Wouldn't that be neat, you know, if you as a spirit being could say, "Everybody here in the hospital be healed." Everybody would rise up out of bed and walk out of that hospital. Wouldn't that be something that would just blow you away? You know, God, Jesus Christ, when he came to the earth, basically did everybody who touched, he healed and he fixed their bodies. We want others to understand that God loves them just the way they are, and he loves them so much that he won't leave them just the way they are. You know, he calls all of us as sinners to the church. But he doesn't leave us to just go continue to do and live a lifestyle that is contrary to him. He changes us. That takes years. Sometimes it takes a lifetime. But he changes us one day at a time. And when he calls sinners, he works with them. He is the one who will bring about change in their lives as they get to know him. So we want to build bridges in our lives to other people that enable them to worship together, pray together, take communion together, build relationships, and love as he loves. And the only way we can do that is to break down the barriers and build bridges. We want everybody to see that there isn't anything that will keep Jesus from being our God and us from being his people. We are his and he is ours. In closing, I'd like to give three things I'd like to ask you to pray about this week. Three things. What barriers do I face that are preventing me from believing that God loves me just as I am and that he calls me his beloved? We doubt that God can really love us for what we've done or who we are. But what barriers are we putting up there that prevent us from believing that God truly loves us and cares about us? Write those down and pray about them. Second, what barriers have I built preventing others from seeing God as he really is? We may say, well, God, you need to do this for God to love you. Or you need to, these things all need to be done before God will love you. What barriers have we put up there? God loves all of us. Even while we were sinners, He came and died for us. And thirdly, one more. What bridges am I building for others that enables them to see God and build a relationship with Him? What bridges am I building for others, enabling them to see God and build a relationship with Him? If we could remember these three things in prayer this week. I'd like to just close in prayer, so bow your heads. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus, for coming to the earth, reaching out to mankind, reaching out to all of us in humanity, all the humanity around us. You came and laid down your life for us, and you came to reach out and build bridges so we can come in and have a relationship with you, not just for a short time that we are alive, but for eternity. You came that we can have life and life abundance and spiritual life in the future. We ask you to please be with us this coming week. Help us as we go through our daily routine so we will build bridges with others, share our faith, and love as you loved us. As John 13 mentions about having a new commandment to love others. Thank you for all the things you give us now, and thank you for this day. And we ask for a blessing on the lunch we're about to have. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.